I just want to talk tonight. Actually, I'm going to continue this next Wednesday night about steadfast in the faith in the last days. You know, in the days that we're living in, if you study anything about the end times, actually the Bible tells us that it's going to be this way. It said sin will wax worse and worse, and as it was in the days of Noah, it will be, but are we going to maintain our faith? I see a lot of people that I have known over the years, even Rhema people, that at one time were strong, but now they're not there anymore. Now, some people are not strong in their faith in God because nobody's taught them. Other people, they just got tired and give up. You know, I see too many people that are abandoning their faith and going with the belief of the world. Paul said this would happen in the last days, and to guard against it. In 1 Timothy 4:1, let's read that. 1 Timothy 4:1, I want to read that. It's Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctors of demons. Over in one of the Gospels, and in the Gospels it talks about that even the elect would be deceived. The NLT on this particular passage, it says, in the New Living, it says, where are we at? I think I'm at the wrong place. It says, now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last time, some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. And you say to me, what does this mean to me today? Well, in this last day, there's a lot of demonic activity. Now, I'm not talking about people that are being possessed by the devil. I'm talking about demonic activity in the way that the world is going, the perversion and all of the other things that are out there right now. That's all demonic activity, whether you realize it or not. Come on now, don't look at me like that. It's the truth. You know, in this time that we're living in, will we keep on steadfastly believing the Word of God? Or will we join the ranks of humanity that's wandering aimlessly, just sort of going with the flow? You know, over a period of time, because television and media and everything, our society has been programmed to say, well, that's okay, when the Bible says it's not okay, the way of life. You know, we need to realize we're either going to have to stand for the Word of God, stand in our faith, and believe God, or else it's all over. You know, we try to, it seems like that even some people that are in the church and the charismatic circles, they trying to twist it around a little bit and justify all of this. Even some of the national, denominations, they have come out and said that they will do marriages between man and man and woman and woman. I don't know whether you realize that or not. I don't know whether you've seen it or not, but it's there. And all of the things that's going on in that direction, that's simply the perversion of the devil and demonic activity to destroy Christianity. You know, Jesus asked a question in Luke 18:8, and I want the latter part of that verse, Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith upon the earth? That's the New Living Translation says, but when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth who have faith? The question is, when Jesus comes back, what is he going to find? We are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming back for a pure church. A church that believes what the Word of God says. Okay? I'm talking about lifestyles. I'm talking about believing in line with the Word of God. You know, I may get some flack for this, but the Word of God says that he made male and female. But it seems like, and it is, that people say that they can choose their gender. I don't know how that's possible. Some of you are looking at me funny, but that's what's going on in our world today. And that's truly against the Word of God. Are we going to stand firm in our faith? Are we going to give in and compromise? You know, will he find faith-filled believers when he returns? Will he find people who believe the promises of God? Will he find people that are living by faith? You know, every believer's got to answer these questions. You can't speak for somebody else. You can't speak for your partner. You can't speak for your wife, your friend, anybody. You have to answer these questions yourself. Previous generations can't speak for us. You know, I mean, my father, my relatives were all Christians. And now, here I am, my generation. And now my kids' generation. Now my grandkids' generation. Past generation, just because you were raised in a Christian atmosphere doesn't make you a Christian. Each person has to speak for themselves and believe the Word of God for themselves. Every generation must have their own faith in God. You know, everybody... So I had somebody talking to me the other day, not very long ago. We were out to eat somewhere and with some people, and they were talking about, you know, what's going on in the world today. And I looked at him and I said, that is nothing that the Bible hasn't already said is going to happen. And they looked at me sort of funny. How many of you have read about what's transpiring in the last days? You read that in the Word of God? Isn't what's happening what the Word of God said would happen in the last days? Actually, now this is my own presumption on this. I don't have anything to back this up. But I think maybe that the enemy, the devil, realizes that he's close to the end and he's doing everything he can to destroy God. You see, that's what he started out with in the first place. If you go study it, the devil was probably an archangel. You can go read about it back there in Isaiah. And then he fell. He got kicked out of heaven along with about a third of the angels that went with him. He tried a coup, and he was going to ascend above God. Actually, in theological terms, they think that he was probably the archangel that was in charge of music. And he got kicked out. And he since that time, he has done everything he can to destroy anything that has to do with God. I mean, the Word of God tells us this. The Word of God tells us that that Jesus Christ come to change us, but the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, I am going to stand strong and believe and speak and act like the Bible's true and live like the Bible's true, no matter what anybody else does. Somebody said, well, what if all that stuff is not true? I said, what if it is? Hello? If it is, then there's a place that's really nice to go to, and there's a place that's hotter than it is outside today. And some, you know, I want to go to a place where it's cool. I don't like it being hot. Where it's nice and pretty. You know, in the last days, you're going to have to choose not to abandon your faith. Don't become so accustomed to the world that you begin to compromise. And, you know, we see John the Baptist, and there he was. And he was in prison. Well, actually, let's go back and talk about him first, and before he went to prison. Let's go back to the first chapter of John and verse 32. First chapter of John and verse 32. And it says, and John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to be baptized, with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified this is the Son of God. And the next day, John stood with his two disciples looking at Jesus as he walked, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Now, sometime later, John was in prison. Now, he sent his disciples to ask Jesus if he was really the Messiah, or do we look for another? Now, why am I using these scriptures? Here is the one that baptized Jesus and said, behold, the Lamb of God. But now in prison, he's questioning. Look at John 7:20-23. Reading it from the NLT. John 7:20-23. Now remember, John had baptized Jesus in the River Jordan. He said, behold, the Lamb of God. Now, it says here, John's two disciples, he sent his two of his disciples to Jesus, and now John's two disciples found Jesus and said to him, John the Baptist sent us to ask, are you the Messiah we have been expecting, or should we keep looking for somebody else? Now, I want you to notice his answer, okay? At that very time, Jesus cured many people of their diseases and illness and cast out evil spirits and restored sight to many who were blind. Then he told John's disciple, go back to John and tell him what you have seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. And then he went on to say, and tell him, God blesses those who do not turn away because of me. Now, if John the Baptist, when he got in prison, could call a difficulty, he began to question Jesus. It stands to reason when we ourselves find ourselves facing different things that we might begin to question. You know, there's a lot of different kind of prisons. There's prisons of sickness and disease and poverty of lack, rejection, prison of circumstances, jobs, location, economy, all kinds of things. Prison of traditions, our own thoughts, trouble. And in prison, things look different than they do when you're not going through something. See, I'm comparing our situations that we get into as being in a prison, like John the Baptist was, and he started questioning. And that's what I'm trying to say. When John was out of prison, he was bold to declare, behold the Lamb of God. But now he finds himself in a prison and he begins to question and he sent up disciples. But I want you to notice, if you find yourself in some kind of a prison, does that mean the Word of God isn't true anymore? The Word of God doesn't work anymore? Does that mean he doesn't care for you? I want you to notice, he didn't tell John, I am the Messiah. He said, go and tell them what you see going on. When you start to question Jesus and your faith, then begin to look and see what he has done for you and those around about you. It wasn't the world that did it for him. It wasn't the world that changed you. It wasn't the world that delivered you out of whatever prison you were in. It was the power of God through Jesus Christ. See, it's easy to believe God. It's easy to hold on to your faith when everything's going good. But when the times are tough and our faith is challenged, we sometimes begin to have a different story. When they criticize us for what we believe. And in the world we live in today, used to, when I grew up, and through most a lot of my adulthood till the present time, you could disagree with somebody without them attacking you. Now, if you don't believe like they do, they attacked you. Hello, come on, don't look at me, it's the truth. I'm not just talking about spiritually, I'm talking about on everything. When they attack you on your faith, Are you still going to believe? Boy, it's quiet in here, isn't it? But I'm talking to you tonight about something that is real and how the enemy is working in this world to destroy anything that has to do with God. And you're going to have to make up your mind whether you're going to stand pat in your face and faith and stand with God or compromise. Hello? When they persecute us, are we still going to stand strong? See, there's no such thing as an untried faith. Peter said that the enemy would come around trying to destroy you and get you to abandon your faith. We've got to realize, I mean, we thank God for all the great things and all the promises of God, but there is not enough. There used to be some preaching about the devil and his, and what he was and what he did and what he was doing. But nowadays, there's not too much preaching about him. Friend, we got to wake up and realize he's a mean devil. He wants to kill and destroy. And thank God that we have our faith and so forth. But let me tell you what, it's not a ride down easy street just because you have faith. Don't think you can sit back and do nothing. You have got to get the Word of God inside of you so that when they attack you, the Word comes out of you, or the Word causes you to walk in love, like I taught about a couple Wednesdays ago, I believe it was. How do you deal with all of this? How do we deal with our society and our world? We deal with it like the Word of God has told us to. We don't give in to the world. You know, there is, I want to find that because I want to read it right now. Let me find it. In the NLT, and this is what I'm talking about today, to many of us, Romans 12:2 in the NLT says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you'll learn to know God's will for you and do his will. You know, these, there's too many people are not realizing that. Let me go read 1 and 2 from here from the Message translation. So there's what I want you to know. I want you to do. God helping those. Take your everyday ordinary life. You're sleeping, eating, going, working, walking around in life. Place it before God, offering, embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Now here's what I want you to get a hold of. This is what I wanted to get to. Don't become so well adjusted to the culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God and you'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognizing what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. That's what I'm talking about. We have to be careful that we don't become so well adjusted to the culture. And that's what's happened through a period of time now, through television and media And it even the parents, you need to be careful about those cartoons your kids are watching. I mean, that the devil has sneakily gotten in. And we as the church have disordered. Oh, well, you know, we need to get on our knees or get into prayer in our prayer closet and begin to pray about this thing, because he said, if my people called by my name will pray, I will hear them and I will heal their land. You ever read that? You know, sometimes we need to understand that, you know, and thank God for the faith that we've got that's brought us into prosperity. But hey, the faith I'm talking about is more than prosperity. It's more than wearing designer clothes. And thank God for all of the prosperity that God has brought. But friend, I want you to know the enemy is coming to attack. And this church, we give invitation for salvation. You go to some charismatic churches and they preach a good sermon about God wants to bless you and prosper you, and they're talking about prosperity, but they never give an invitation for salvation. Actually, the church exists to get people born again and not go to a devil's hell. Hello. All of that, thank God for it. It's all the extra. It's all the icing on the cake, you might say. How many understand where I'm coming from tonight? Anybody getting anything out of what I'm trying to say? Man, we need to understand that faith is doing his will and obeying what the word of God tells us to do. Abraham obeyed God. It says in Hebrews 11:8, but by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive his inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Now that's a walk of faith. Hello. He got to the Canaan's land. But let me tell you what. He faced some difficulties getting there. Read about it. His self-centered and greedy nephew took the best part of the land. And Abraham took what was left and God blessed him. Then he had to go rescue Lot because he got in with the wrong bunch. Abraham listened to his wife and got wrong advice and got in trouble. But still, he didn't give up on God. Abraham prevailed in his faith. You see, if you'll stand strong in your faith, and I'm talking, now, people talk about believing God for this and that. No, I'm talking about your faith, your salvation, your faith. How many understand what I'm talking to you about? How many understand what I'm talking about? You can't abandon. The enemy will do everything he can to get you to abandon what you believe. By coming to you with different things that different people are saying, and some of them may be some well-known somebody. But let me tell you what, and I say this humbly, but I don't care who they are. If they come saying things that are contrary to what the Word of God says, don't give in. Stand your ground. Stand on the Word. The Word of God says what the Word of God says. I realize this wasn't a shouting sermon tonight, but it's a sermon that to get us thinking about the fact that we're living in the last days, and we need to make up our mind before you get to all of that stuff. You're going to make up your mind what you're going to do when you get there. When I went in the U.S. Army in 1962, it's different today. I don't know nothing about it today. I'm talking about what it was like when I went in. And my uncles and my friends that had been in the Army were telling me all about it. And riding that bus from Dallas, Texas to Fort Leonard, Missouri, we got in there about 2 o'clock in the morning, and them sergeants were screaming and yelling and... If you've been in the military, you know what I'm talking about. Otherwise, there's no... Anybody been in the Army and the Marines? I don't know about the Navy and Air Force, but the Army and the Marines, hey, it's something else. They're yelling and screaming. But I told those boys I was older when I went in. I was 23. Most of those kids on the bus were like 18, 19. They were all talking, laughing, and going on. Me, 62, most of them had long hair. And I told them, I said, you better get ready to lose that hair. Oh, no, man, I can't lose my hair. I said, you get ready, because you're fixing to lose it. But I made up my mind ahead of time. There wasn't no sergeant that could do anything to me that would break me. I'm gonna pass boot camp with flying colors. But I made up my mind I was gonna do it before I got there, not when I started getting it. Now I had a flat top, and I did have the sides here, but I had a flat top. And I noticed, and there were some other guys that had flat tops, and most of them had long hair. I noticed the guys that had the long hair, they shaved their head. Us guys that already had flat tops, they didn't skin us quite as much. But one of the guys later told me, he said, man, you were right, Hagin. You got to make up your mind you're going to do it, or it ain't going to work. You're not going to accomplish it. You got to make up your mind you're going to live the Word of God no matter whatever anybody else does. Hello, Heavenly Father, I just tried to warn the people tonight about holding on to their faith in this last day and age, holding strong until that final hour. I thank you that you'd help each and every one to understand what I was trying to get across to them tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Everybody stand. Did anybody get anything out of this tonight? Did you get a hold of what I'm trying to say to you? How many of you got a hold of what I'm... Well, thank God I got through to some of you anyway. There are too many Christian people that don't realize what's going on in the world right now. They're just sort of going along. Ooh, yeah, well, que sera, sera, whatever will be. No, that's not the way you got to live. Amen? Listen. If you're in this place and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, we want you to know Him tonight. If you're here and you know what it is to serve God, but you're not exactly where you need to be and you need to rededicate, I want you to come to the front as we're dismissed. The men here, the ladies here, and they'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, according to Acts chapter 2 and verse number 4, they were all filled with the Spirit, began to speak with tongues, the Spirit gave them utterance. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, as we're dismissed, come to the front and they'll pray with you, okay? I want to remind all of you that next Tuesday is the primary election here in Oklahoma. And the election that's going on in our state this year is very, very, very important. The primary, there's a lot of candidates, and there'll probably be some runoffs. That would be in August, and then the main election will be in, but the primary says who's going to be on the ticket for senator, for governor, for all of it, you know. And I'm not trying to tell you who to vote for. What I am trying to tell you to do is to, I have never voted according to what my registration is. I've always, all of my life, ever since I started voting, and when I started, you couldn't start till you was a certain age. It was 21, I think. But I have always voted. I've looked at the person and vote for the person, not a party. Now, that's me. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just telling you what I do, okay? But we do have here in the, for the State House in Oklahoma, we have, I think, two or three. How many is it, Chris? Two or three different Rhema. Huh? We have two Rhema people running for two for the House and one for the Senate here in Oklahoma that are Rhema grads. Hello? Amen. But hey, vote. It's important that you vote. Voting is very important. It's our way of life. So I want to encourage you to do that. Also, some of you may remember about, 11 years ago, I guess it is now, we had Donnie Ray Crawford's memorial here. He was one of Cameron's friends, raced with him. They raced again. You know, my grandson, Cameron Hagen, races the cars. And they're micro sprint cars back then. And then even his dad, Ray Crawford, we had his funeral here, and Ray was a big time. Yeah, that was his grandfather. He was a big time racer. In fact, he was racing sprint cars at the old Tulsa Fairground back in 79-80 when I had a street stock that I raced down there. He raced in the big division. I just had a junk car that I raced. But full-bodied car. But they're having Donnie Ray's 11th annual Donnie Ray Crawford Memorial Race at the Port City Raceway out there where Cameron started racing. And they family gave us some tickets to if anybody wanted to come. Now, this ticket is good for Friday night, June 24th, or Saturday, June 25th, one of those nights. And Craig's got about 25 tickets, I think he's got. If anybody's interested, they're there. They're free. And if you've never been to a race, well, that's a good one to go to. They're micro sprint. They're small cars with a 400-600cc motorcycle engine in the bigger division. And then in the other division, they got the junior division. They got a 200cc Briggs & Stratton go-kart engine in those. But it's a lot of fun. There'll be a lot of all kinds of activities going on. So, and they're free tickets. And for one night or the other night, to see him, okay, he's got them right there. Here's this one. If you're interested, to see him. He's got the tickets, and it's a good nice place to go and enjoy family time and stuff. Go find our first time guest, and let's thank you for being with us. If you're looking for a church home, why we say church, welcome. And our connection team is going to take you, and we got a special gift for you out front. All right, as we're dismissed, if you need prayer for any reason that I talked about, get down to the front right now. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday right here. God bless.